Federal News Radio national security correspondent J.J. Green recently got the chance to do something that not many people get to do. He was given an exclusive tour of the Transportation Security Operations Center with TSA Administrator John Pistol. And 72 hours later, America would learn of the latest mail bomb plot originating from Yemen. J.J. is joining us now with the tales of his tour and what the agency is doing to protect the homeland and the skies. J.J., it's always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us.
Morning.
So 72 hours after your tour, we're hearing of that mail bomb plot that we've been talking with you about. Tell us what you've learned.
About the plot itself or sent the tour?
How they're connected.
Okay, when I was at the tour, Pistol mentioned the name Abdul Muttalib a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting that when I left there, I was thinking this was just another routine tour conversation kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
72 hours later, the third day after that, the president, John Brennan, his counterterrorism advisor, and Robert Gibbs were at a news conference, and they were talking about this huge plot that they had uncovered. Brennan also mentioned Abdul Muttalib. So I began to think back about how, this is curious that he mentioned this. I wonder when he knew about it. So I began to ask folks about when the U.S. knew about it. It turns out later that the Saudis had alerted the U.S. almost a month before. And this was a situation where they knew something was coming, didn't know what. They knew that it probably had some connection or relationship to the Christmas Day underwear bomber situation. So then they were left with the need to dig in and kind of figure out the details, and that's where the Saudis helped them.
But you had your own aha moment in that same genre. I mean, you also saw those dots being connected between the Christmas Day bombing and the printer cartridges.
Yeah, I spoke with Phil Mudd. And Phil Mudd is a former deputy director of the CIA Counterterrorism Center, and Fred Burton, who is a former diplomatic security service agent for the State Department, he worked on the Pan Am 103 bombing and about a dozen other bombings back in the 80s and 90s while he was working for the government. And both of them were very, very, very adamant about the fact that they figure that there was a connection all along, because the bomb makers out there, there are very few of them, and they're all pretty much connected. There are few of them, only a few.
But are they like networked with each other?
Well, two or three, if you could call it a network, yeah, but it's so few of them because of the hazards of the job, obviously, and law enforcement problems. That Al-Qaeda probably only has a couple, and all of these people are from the same tree, and they're all working on the same projects. And you look at the shoe bomber, you look at the underwear bomber, you look at the printer bomber, they all have the same forensic signatures.
And they all seem to be getting better as they go.
So the thing that kind of dawned on me when I was talking to these guys about this is that, these guys have been out there working on this since the shoe bomber. They've been working on these plots since the shoe bomber.
I guess the only thing we have left now is the baseball cap bomber as we move up the body here. We're speaking with J.J. Green, our national security correspondent, and I want to switch gears and ask about the TSA Operations Center itself a little bit. What fascinated you most about seeing the inside of one of these places?
Well, this was a pretty non-remarkable place if you want to get down to the brass tacks of it.
Huh.
It wasn't the room, because when I walked in the room, they made a big announcement saying uncleared person on the floor, so cover up your classified stuff. So I didn't see anything that looked any different from any other big cavernous office space. But what was most impressive about being there was the timing. Again, back to what we were talking about. I had been angling for this for a while, and I think it was fortuitous that they agreed to do it. It just so happened that they did it a few days before this broke. And I noticed specifically that John Pistol, who is just a very smart guy, very well-connected, very experienced guy, seemed to be very, very concerned about what the people in that room might be facing in the weeks, months, and years to come, based on the evolving technology and the whole process that Al-Qaeda is engaged in within the last few years. He was essentially saying we need to be ready for everything, but we can't be ready and be in all places at all times. So he seemed to be very, that was the most interesting thing about that. He seemed to be very concerned about what they could cover, you know, in the coming years, because Al-Qaeda's, they were weakened some years ago, but this new bomb, this last bomb, is sort of a wake-up call.
The printer cartridge bombs.
Yes.
Does that show you, and does that show experts then, that they're becoming more advanced, and are they where they need to be, and what do we need to be watching
out
for?
That's kind of what I was alluding to before when we were talking about this the shoe bomber and all that. They've been there. They've been there since then. If you think back about a bomb in a shoe, you know, we laughed. Well, we didn't laugh, but a lot of people thought, you know, that was laughable because, you know, it didn't work. It just fizzled. The underwear bomber, well, people got a little bit more concerned about it. Then there's the printer cartridge thing, and people are like, whoa. So what I'm saying is they've always been there. What we haven't done is essentially looked at them, I'm saying as lay people, because the intelligence community has. What we haven't done as lay people is looked at them as the extremely dangerous and skilled and talented people they are. But what we also need to keep in mind, too, is those folks at TSA, at the CIA, the FBI, at DHS, there are some extremely skilled and talented people out there. And there is a band of brothers when it comes to international intelligence. The Saudis and the U.S. have major political differences, but when it comes to intelligence, all that's off the table. They don't care. No, this is another thing that Phil Mudd pointed out. These intelligence agencies and countries that are under attack, that are under threat, all work together.
Yeah, so we can't really control what the Al-Qaeda and the bombers do. They're going to get as sophisticated as they will. So it really comes down to that band of brothers and the information sharing and trust that they have, because that's what they can control.
That's all that's left between us and the bad guys, is that essentially that band of brothers, as Phil Mudd put it.